You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for tuning in to the newest episode of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soker. This episode is being released on January 29th, 2026. And this week we're talking about rules for political discussions. Discussing politics can often turn into heated disagreements if we're not careful. And because of this, many Christians choose to ignore politics altogether. However, it is possible to have productive discussions if we approach them in the right way. In fact, they might even open the door to spiritual discussions, which we all agree is most important. So in this episode, we're going to talk about the right way to discuss political issues with others. For links to some related materials, check out the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/012926. Now for our discussion this week. When it comes to engaging in political discussions, there are a few ways that Christians approach them. One is total disinterest due to apathy. They have no strong opinions, they don't follow the news, and oftentimes they generally think that these discussions do more harm than good. Then two, you have those who are eager to discuss or debate these types of issues. They do have strong opinions. They try to stay well informed with the things that are going on around them. And they pay attention to politics because they find it interesting or important or both. And then you have those who have a total disinterest in discussing these things because they believe the discussion is useless. This is different from the first group, who are just apathetic about this. Instead, these are the individuals who will not consider anything that could change their minds. And they also, evidently, don't believe that they could change anyone else's minds either, even though they believe that others are wrong, not just incorrect, but somehow morally compromised or corrupt. But they just have no interest in discussing these things because it's not going to do, in their minds, any good. So why are we discussing this here? Well, it's because there are Christians in each of those three groups. Some are apathetic when it comes to politics, and this is understandable to a point. But we also need to be wise as serpents, as Jesus said in Matthew 10 and verse 16, which involves knowing what's going on around us, which would include politics. And then you have some who are eager to discuss or argue certain issues. And that's not necessarily wrong, even though some are quick to condemn that. But it's not necessarily wrong to be eager to discuss these things. But we do want to be careful that our political opinions don't trump our spiritual convictions. And then you have those who are just past the point of wanting to discuss anything. They refuse to talk to anyone with a different point of view. They will make posts on social media. And I just saw a post this week on Facebook from someone I was friends with years ago. But they just posted recently about, if you don't agree with me on this political topic, then just unfriend me now. And I've seen that over the years, people on the so-called right or the left making statements like that. The problem when we do that is that we are throwing away any potential influence that we might have on others. Now, the reality is we can't get away from political discussions. So we want to make sure that whenever we're involved in these type of discussions, that we approach them properly. We don't want to compromise the truth. We do want to maintain our influence as much as possible and hopefully open doors to spiritual discussions and talking to people about the gospel. Now, as we think about how to do this, we need to be able to differentiate between opinions that are purely personal preference, as in they're not matters of right or wrong, and then opinions that are matters of spiritual conviction, where right and wrong is revealed in the scripture. For example, should the United States acquire Greenland? This has been in the news recently with President Trump talking about making a deal to acquire Greenland. This would not be the first time that the U.S. would have acquired territory. It's happened in the past. And there are various reasons why it could be a good idea to do that, for national defense, for mineral resources, for controlling trade routes, and things like that. But then on the other hand, there might be reasons why it would not be a good idea. Maybe it's not the best use of resources, maybe it could turn our allies against us, or other things that people might add to that list. Well, what does the Bible say about whether the United States should acquire Greenland? Nothing. So it's purely a matter of opinion. We might not agree on that issue, and that's okay. But then another example, should abortion be legal? Now, the scriptures clearly teach that murder is wrong. The Bible also describes God forming us in the womb. That is when life begins. And the Bible also uses the same term to describe infants who are in the womb and those who have already been born. Now, we won't take time now to look at those passages, but I will link to an article in the show notes that talks about abortion and the reason why abortion is wrong. But in that case, there is no ambiguity. Abortion is primarily a moral issue, not a political one, and Christians cannot endorse that practice. Now, if we take this one step further, there are some matters of government responsibility that are revealed in the scriptures, but the way in which they carry that out is not specified and could come down to a matter of personal opinion. An example of this is in immigration enforcement, which is a hot topic right now. All Christians should be able to agree on the role that God has given for civil authorities to punish evildoers and to protect the innocent. That is based on Romans chapter 13. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. Now, in order to carry out this role, it would, of necessity, require some type of immigration law. And we talked about that in more detail in an episode last summer about deporting a pastor. I'll link to that in the show notes if you did not listen to that episode and want to check it out. But if government is going to fulfill their God-given role, it would, of necessity, require some type of immigration law and immigration enforcement. Now, we might disagree on what that immigration law should look like. How many people should be permitted to immigrate to the country? What countries should we allow immigration from? And what should be the process for obtaining citizenship? We might have different opinions on that. And also, we might disagree on how enforcement of that law should be carried out. Should a wall be built along the southern border? Should federal agents be sent into communities to round up those who are in this country illegally? Should employers who hire illegal aliens receive fines or lose their business license in order to deter them from hiring those who are in the country illegally? Should there be high taxes on money that is sent out of the country? So there is less of an incentive for people to come into this country illegally, get paid under the table, and then send the money out of the country to family or others back in the country that they came from. Or should it be a combination of those things? We might have different opinions about that, but we should all be able to agree that civil authorities have a divine obligation to punish evildoers, which includes those who break immigration law, and protect the innocent, which includes citizens who are victimized by criminals living around them. So these are just a few examples of discussions that we might have with people around us. So understanding all this, how should we go about discussing political matters with others? It is not helpful to bury our heads in the sand and act like these issues don't exist. At the same time, as Christians, we want to discuss these issues in the right way, not just so we can win an argument, but so we can continue to be a positive influence for what is good and true. Now, a few years back, I wrote an article titled Rules for Religious Discussions, and I'll link to that in the show notes. This discussion here today will have some similarities to that, but discussing politics is often different from discussing religious matters. So here I want to talk about 6 rules for political discussions. Number 1, remember that first and foremost, we are citizens of a heavenly kingdom. Paul said, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, the fact that our citizenship is in heaven does not mean that our earthly citizenship is unimportant. But our place in the Lord's kingdom and our efforts to bring others into it are more important than anything that happens in the country that we live in. That being said, the policies and actions of those who are in positions of civil authority do have an impact on our ability to serve God without hindrance and spread the gospel to others. This is why Paul said that we are to pray for those who are in positions of civil authority. First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and for all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Why do we pray for civil authorities? So that we can lead a tranquil and quiet life in order to be godly and serve Him and to spread the gospel to others. He wants all to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So our prayers for civil authorities and our political opinions ought to be focused on that first. Number two, understand the difference between personal opinion and Bible teaching. We may have different opinions about whether the U.S. should acquire Greenland, or how the United States Postal Service can reduce its budget, or whether the Department of Education should be abolished and education decisions be sent to the states. We might have different opinions on those things. However, when the Bible addresses certain matters, we must accept what the Bible says, whether it's about abortion or homosexuality or the punishment of evildoers by civil authorities. We have to accept what the Bible teaches on things like that. So when we discuss political matters with others, it's important that we know the difference between Bible teaching and our opinions, and it's important that we make sure others know the difference between what our opinions are and what the Bible teaching is. We don't want to ruin our influence arguing over whether it was a good idea for the U.S. Treasury to stop minting pennies or something inconsequential like that. It has to be clear what is our opinion versus what does the Bible teach on various matters. Number three, when a position that you hold is based upon Bible teaching, make sure you direct people to the Bible. Abortion is wrong because of what the Bible teaches, not because our preferred political party's platform is against it. So in discussions on issues like that, show people the verses where those issues are addressed. And if there's not a Bible available, when oftentimes there's not when we're discussing politics with people, at least direct them to where they can find it in the Bible, so that way, if they're interested, and hopefully they are, they can look on their own and find those verses and see what it is that you're talking about. Our ultimate goal is to convert people to Christ, not just to influence or change the way they vote. Number four, recognize that people are using different sets of facts. I talked about this in an article about social media titled, "There Is No Common Ground," and I'll link to that in the show notes. But it was based upon a quote from Chris Martin in his book, Terms of Service, in which he explained that no two people have the same social media feed and why that's such a big deal. He said, if you are a hardcore conservative and your Facebook feed is full of hardcore conservative articles and opinions, you can't flip over to hardcore liberal Facebook and see what they're saying. If you often feel like you're living in a different world from the people with whom you disagree, it's because you are. Living in our own little ideological worlds is not a new problem, but it is amplified by social media because we have no simple opportunity to peek into the worlds of people who hold opposing views. We know that truth is objective. However, no two people have the same set of information they're using to form their opinions. That doesn't change truth, but it does change how people judge what's going on around them. This means we should not be quick to assume that people are dishonest or that they're condoning sin or that they're willfully ignorant or something like that. Instead, we need to recognize that they are likely forming their opinions based upon a fraction of the information that is available. And even those who are more well-informed than others still don't have the full picture either. So it's important that we recognize that when we are discussing these type of issues with others. And then number five, know when these discussions are helpful and when they're not. Jesus talked to his disciples about shaking off the dust of their feet and moving on when people rejected their message. He said, "Whoever does not receive you nor heed your words as you go out from that house or that city, shake the dust off your feet." Now, he was talking about spiritual discussions, but the principle here can't apply to what we're talking about in this episode, political discussions. When discussions are civil and constructive, they can be helpful. But when discussions become combative and they just go around in circles and go nowhere, then they can be useless. We don't want to waste time on discussions that are just not going to be helpful to anyone. And then number six, don't forfeit your influence over matters of opinion. Ultimately, we are trying to be a positive influence to point people to Christ. Jesus said, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Now, that doesn't mean we ignore political issues, but it means we're always looking for opportunities to teach the truth and point people to Him. Our political views need to be shaped by the fact that Jesus is King and His word is truth. So in summary, it's understandable why some Christians would shy away from political discussions. But if we go about them in the right way, they can be helpful, not just in shaping the direction of our nation or the communities that we live in, but also, and more importantly, in pointing people to Christ, who is the source of truth and hope in the world. That's all for this week. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I hope you found this episode to be helpful. For links to some related materials, check out the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/01-2926. If you have a moment to rate and review the podcast or share it with others who would be interested in it, that is always appreciated. And if you're listening to this, remember that we also upload video versions of the podcast to the Plain Bible Teaching YouTube channel. So if you prefer to watch this on video, that option is available to you. And if you are watching this on YouTube, please like this video and subscribe to the channel so you can see the other videos we post here from time to time. And if you're interested in seeing the script for this episode, you can check that out on Substack. That will also be linked in the show notes. And if you see a news story or have some topic that you believe would make for a good discussion here, send that to me at andy@plainbibleteaching.com. Thanks again for listening, and hope to talk to you again next time.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others. Also, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching Weekly Newsletter. This free newsletter will be delivered to your inbox each Friday with articles, podcasts, videos, sermon outlines, and more. Visit plainbibleteaching.com to subscribe today.